Exodus chapter 38. We're looking at the brass altar. The brass altar is the altar of sacrifice. The brass altar would be in the outer court. You couldn't go into the Holy of Holies or the holy place without having to go to the brass altar first. At the brass altar is where the sacrifices were made. The people would come through the gates that were in the outer court, in the walls of the outer court, and they would bring their sacrifice to the priests, who in turn would bring it to the brass altar, where the sacrifice would be slain. The blood would be placed upon the four horns of the altar, and then the sacrifice would be laid upon the altar. And he made an altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof, and it was 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it, and the horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots and the shovels and the basins and the flesh hooks and the fire pans, and all the vessels thereof were made of brass. Just pause here. These would be all the things that would be used during the sacrifice. As you can see, they're kind of the pots and the shovels and the basins would be involved in gathering the ashes, the blood, the various things that would be involved in the sacrifice. The flesh hooks would be for hooking on to the animal that was being sacrificed. And the fire pans where the fire would be placed underneath the offering. And he made of the altar a brazen gate of a network under the compass thereof beneath the midst of it. And he cast 4 rings for the 4 ends of the grate of brass to be placed for the staves. And he made the staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with brass. And he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar to bear it withal. And he made the altar hollow with boards. Now this altar, the staves would be there for the very same purpose that the other instruments had them, and that is that this tabernacle was to be a portable tabernacle. And this altar would have to be carried along with all the other instruments and various elements of furniture that had been made throughout, that we've studied over the last few weeks. As the nation of Israel would move from place to place over 40 years, the tabernacle would be disassembled by the priests, and different priests would have different responsibilities. All would be descendants of Aaron, and they would take the various elements of the tabernacle, tear them down, and reassemble them when they got to the next place. Now, there was a laver. What is a laver? Well, a laver is like a giant basin. And the laver was placed also between the altar and the doors entering the holy place. He made the laver of brass and the foot of brass and the looking glass of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, people have said, well, what does it mean by the looking glass of the women? It was a different type of brass than had been used. A looking glass would be what a woman would use to prepare herself so she'd be beautiful. It'd be like a mirror for us. I know that in the morning we all get up and we look in the mirror and we go, oh, something needs to be done here. I need to help this situation along quite a bit. And so we make ourselves look better by looking into the mirror. That's what a looking glass would be. Well, that would be used, made of brass, but they take this special brass, which are normally used for looking glasses, and instead of being used to look at ourselves, to make ourselves more beautiful, what it did is it showed that we weren't to be looking at ourselves, but rather the priests were to be preparing themselves to come in to the presence of the Lord. The laver was filled with water, and it was used as a basin where the priests would wash 2 parts of their bodies before they could serve. they'd wash their feet and their hands. It was a ceremonial cleansing, and it was done to really show that where they had walked, they'd be walking clean before the Lord, and where they would serve, they would be serving with clean hands before the Lord. And they'd be reminded of the fact that they were sinners who needed to be cleansed before they could come into God's presence and accomplish His purpose and do His will and even be involved in His service. Then we see the last element of the tabernacle that is spoken of, and that is the court. Now this would be the outer court, and it's made with basically it looked like a wall made with curtains and posts that would be going around the facility, and then it would have a gate at the one end with two curtains. And it says, and he made the court on the south side southward. The hangings of the court were twined linen and 100 cubits. And their pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20, and the hooks and the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And again, all you see, all of these is precious metals. You don't see them using common metals. There's no steel. They didn't have steel then, but there's no iron or common metals here. It's silver, brass, and the closer you get to the holy place and the holy of holies, there's more gold. And then the north side, the hangings were 100 cubits, and the pillars were 20, and their sockets of brass 20, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And on the west side were the hangings 50 cubits, their pillars 10, and their sockets 10, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And on the east side, eastward, were 50 cubits, and the hangings of the one side of the gate were 15 cubits, and their pillars were 3 and their sockets 3. And for the other side of the court, on this hand that and that hand, were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. All the hangings of the court round about were of the fine twined linen. And this would be the same fine twined linen that was used throughout. And it was of, again, the same colors that had been used throughout. And the sockets of the pillars were brass, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver, and the overlaying of the chapiters of silver, and all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. And the hangings for the gate of the court was a needlework of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And so here you have the purple, the blue, and the scarlet, and then you also have the white linen. This is the colors that you'll find throughout the tabernacle. Again, their significance. The white is the purity of God. The blue is the fact that the holiness, or the fact that He is in heaven. The purple is that He is the ruler, the King of Kings, the one who has authority. And the scarlet is that He is the one who will shed His blood, or make the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so these things are all pointing to the character of God. And the 20 cubits was the length, and the height and the breadth was 5 cubits, answerable to the hangings of the court. And their pillars were 4, and their sockets of brass 4, and the hooks of silver, and overlaying of the chapiters and their fillets of silver. And the pins of the tabernacle and of the courtyard round about were brass. This was the sum of the tabernacle, even the tabernacle of testimony, as it is counted according to the commandment of Moses, for the servant of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, the son of the high priest. And then I want you to see once again, God gives the names of the two men that were in charge of making sure all of the building was built right, all the fine artist work with the precious metals was done right, all the tapestry was made right. And it says, in Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. Now, as you look at this, there's an interesting thing. There's only one way to enter the court. That's one gate. There isn't a gate on each side. Now, if you had this tabernacle set up, the tabernacle would be set up, and then you would have three tribes of Israel encamped on each side of the tabernacle. And so the nation of Israel would be surrounding the whole tabernacle. The tabernacle would be placed in the center of the camp. If you notice, the gates to enter into the tabernacle through the courtyard are on the east end. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, you'll see that they were driven out to the west. God is showing a means by which he's making for man to come back to him. And there's going to be one way. There aren't multiple ways. There aren't multiple gates. There's only one gate. When you get through that gate, there's only one set of curtains going into the holy place. When you get into the holy place, there's only one curtain going into the Holy of Holies. There are multiple ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only God's way to come to him, but God is making a way and showing that way through the nation of Israel and what he's revealing to Moses and through the law that he's given and now the form of worship that he's establishing, that he's making a way, and that way is a way through sacrifice. But the sacrifice is on his terms. Now, as you look at these other things, there's a couple interesting things. If you want to come down here, I'll bring this cutaway of the tabernacle and just show it to you. And it might help you a little bit to understand what we're talking about. So if you want to come up so that everybody can see a little bit easier. Like I said, I wish I was techie like Tom. I'd get this all on photos and put it up on the board, and it'd be really easy to see. Here you see what we were just talking about now, the outer curtain. And here would be the gates that they're talking about. Only one set of gates coming in. Once you came in, the first thing that you would come to would be the altar of sacrifice. You can't go any further unless a sacrifice is made. There's no way you can get any closer to a holy God unless there's a sacrifice on your that's made on your behalf. God is showing through the way he's establishing this that we just can't come rushing into him on our terms, and that we have to come, and that our ability to come is that our sin has to be covered with this sacrifice. Here would be the laver that I was talking about, where the priests would have to wash their hands and their feet as they prepare to go about the worship and service of the Lord, and that they had to wash their feet so that where they walked, they'd be walking in God's holiness, and they'd wash their hands so that where they served, they'd be serving in the Lord in his holiness. This is what we talked about the last few weeks, was the tabernacle itself. This would be the curtains or entrance to the tabernacle, which would also be on the east side. Now, it's interesting that the temple was set up in the same way once that was established on the mountain, Mount Zion, and it would be that the way to enter would be through the gates on the east, and that everything would line up. Everything lines up here in the tabernacle. Remember, we talked about all of the different coverings, and that every covering had a different color, and there was purposes in that. Well, here, this helps us to understand a little bit better the various coverings. You can see the different coverings here as they're placed one upon another. Once you get in to the holy place, here you have the candelabra, or the menorah, and the one side, and on opposite of it is the showbread, or the table of showbread. And then straight back right before you'd enter the place into the Holy of Holies is the altar of incense. Now, there's an interesting thing that we were made, and I didn't get a chance to just verify this in the scriptures, but when we were we went to Shiloh in Israel, we went to where the last physical tabernacle was built in Shiloh, not the portable one, but the physical one that was built when Joshua entered the land, and then they built a physical tabernacle that was made and placed permanently at Shiloh, and then it was destroyed at the time when the when the Philistines came in and attacked and got the Ark of the Covenant. They destroyed the tabernacle at that time. They dug and they found what they believe are the remnants of where the tabernacle would. They said it's the most likely place. It appears it could be the walls, the base of the walls, where these outer courtyard walls. But as our guide was talking about that, he said, it's interesting, you did not start the fire of on the altar of incense by just starting fire there. You had to go and get flames off of the altar of sacrifice and bring it into the altar of incense